Before I jump into my homily, first we have a special guest with us, Father Curtis Hecker. He's a classmate of mine, and I have to apologize to all of you because he's actually an Eastsider. He's currently the chaplain at Cape and Mount Carmel High School, so it's really just an act of charity that I'm offering for you, that we can be nice to him through this Mass. But Father Curtis, it's a great pleasure to have you here with us to help us to pray, and for me personally to celebrate our priesthood together, so thank you for being here. What is it that Jesus wants from his disciples at the Last Supper? We know what he does, that he washes their feet, he humbles himself, shows them that great example of servant love that he wants us to follow. He gives them the gift of the Eucharist that they will go out and celebrate with others in the early church as their priests. But he also knows in the immediate term that they will run away. One of them at the table with him for the Last Supper is the one will betray and hand him over. Most of the others run away from the cross quite literally, right? Maybe out of shame, maybe out of fear, maybe out of any other emotion, but we know that they're not at our Lord's side. Even later this night in the garden, they can't keep watch with him and avoid falling asleep in prayer. So it looks like whatever Jesus wanted from the disciples, they probably failed at. But I think that misses the point of the Last Supper, because Jesus knew all of that would come to pass. He knew that they would fail the test that was right in front of them. So I don't think that's so much what he was focused on. He said he wanted to first give them an example to follow and to give them this celebration of remembrance. Celebration of the Eucharist, to go back and make this moment of the Last Supper a living moment. Not just a historical event that came and went for the apostles, but that would be reborn and rekindled each and every anniversary of the Last Supper, but especially even at each and every Mass. To remember that example of Christ and who they were called to be, how they could trust in him and his Heavenly Father. And so what is it that Jesus wanted from the apostles that night? I think very simply, he wanted their friendship. We're going to talk later in the Gospel of John in the high priestly prayer, how he prays so earnestly for the apostles and the early church. Prays that the Father will strengthen them and give them everything that they need. That he will help them to share God's love with those around them, that they will go out and preach the good news, and will not give way to selfishness or temptation. Drawing from Pope Benedict XVI, he starts by talking about Jesus' words in that high priestly prayer. When Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they know you and the one whom you have sent." What Jesus wants from the disciples, and I think from us tonight, is simply to know him. That knowledge of God is precisely what becomes eternal life. But this knowledge here means something much more than just factual knowledge, than knowing things about Jesus, knowing the events of his life, maybe even memorizing important details of him. But knowing in the language of sacred scripture is an interior becoming one with the other. That knowing God, knowing Christ, always means loving him. Becoming, in a sense, one with him by virtue of that knowledge and that love. Brothers and sisters, in the simplest terms, that's what Jesus desires from his apostles this evening. He knows that it's a burden too heavy for them to bear, that they're not ready to go to the cross with him. He knows that they'll fail not only in that moment, but in many more to come. So he doesn't set the bar that high and say, "I need you guys to be with me." Instead, he says, "I just want you to be my friends, to know me and to love me." Because that around the Last Supper is what will change their hearts and their lives. Right, and Peter gets all worked up. He says, "Well, then do all the things for me, Jesus, right? Don't just wash my feet, but wash everything about me." And Jesus says, "You're missing the point. Just be with me and know the love of this moment. Know the truth of the Last Supper, so that as you remember it and celebrate it every year, that sacrificial love will become real in your own lives. That the love of Christ will lead you to share his good news with others." So Pope Benedict XVI continues, our life becomes authentic and true life, and thus eternal life, when we know the one who is the source of all being. And so Jesus' words become a summons. Let us become friends of Jesus. Let us try to know him all the more. Let us live in dialogue with him. Let us learn from him how we are to live aright. Let us be his witnesses. Then we will become the people who love, and then we will act aright. Then we are truly alive. Brothers and sisters, that simple friendship with Christ is all he asks of us and what he invites us to tonight. That in the great example of his love, we can see someone that we can trust, someone to share our life with, someone to be with. Sometimes to ask for his help. Sometimes asking for him to cure us of physical or spiritual illnesses, to give us strength when we're weak. But I think at other times, not really to ask for anything, simply to be with him, to remember that he has not abandoned us. That's why the Passover that was celebrated each and every year by the Jewish people was such a powerful and important moment, that it marked the beginning and holiest moments of their year. Because they remembered that important fact, that God had not abandoned them. That no matter what was going on in front of them, there was that time in Egypt when he saved us from slavery. There's a time that he loved us, and we know that he wants to do that again right now. That because of the exodus from slavery, we know that we can be the friends of God. Brothers and sisters, let us be those friends of Christ today. Because that friendship should end up changing how we live for others. Because Jesus continues in his high priestly prayer to pray for the church, those apostles in front of him, to be one. That the most profound petition he has of God the Father is to keep the church united. To keep it one both in the days after his death and resurrection, but even to this day. He did not ask that just on behalf of the community of disciples gathered in the upper room, but on the behalf of all those who believe in their word, that they may be one. As the Father is united to the Son, he wants us to be united to one another. And so in that, Jesus peers into the distance of future history. He sees the dangers there for the apostles and for us. And he commends all of this to the heart of the Father. To pray for what? For the church and for her unity. It's precisely in that the church, the ecclesia, is present. A body of believers united in proclaiming the love and good news of Jesus. To be one and apostolic. Brothers and sisters, let us seek to be that united church today, to be a united parish, to be people and Christians that go about bringing unity, not a fake unity that everyone will get along and be on our side all the time, but one that sees past differences to love one another. That I think of the apostles after they find out that Judas has betrayed Jesus. They have two options. One is just to reject Judas and say, well, I would never be like that. We got to do something about that bad apple, Judas. We got to fix him. I don't think that's how the apostles responded. I think they responded with great compassion, and their hearts broke for their brother. They saw a brother that had been with them for 3 years, knowing Jesus, making jokes with them on the side, sharing life with him, being their friend, who had now turned and rejected that Savior of the world. And I think their hearts broke and they said, I hope that we can help our brother. I hope that we can help him know the love and mercy of the Father. Then instead of rejecting him and making him feel different, they said, let's try to bring him back into unity with Christ. Brothers and sisters, our world is so fractured and broken in so many ways today. I know it's a great frustration, maybe for you as it is for me. Let us not let that frustration harden our hearts, But let's try to be like those apostles in the upper room. That on that night of the Lord's Supper, they realized his great friendship and the love he had for them, even when they would abandon him and leave him. That we too can draw on that unity. Not always seeking perfection from others, not always thinking they will understand things and believe them as we do, but always seeking to have that union in Christ, to bring them back to him and gather them around the one thing that unifies us all, the gift of Christ in the most holy Eucharist.